Good morning. My name is Gretchen, and I want to share with you a story about being obedient to the Holy Spirit. This started in summer of 2021, and I was having a conversation with a few other mom friends. And before I tell you about the story, I need you to know the context that this group of friends, we all send our kids to a private school together, and the school teaches creation. So when the topic of dinosaurs came up in relation to our kids, I sort of expected that all of us would be on the same page. Well, one of the moms expressed the struggle with the topic, stating something to the effect of, well, we can't really know that the Bible is true. And the other mom concurred with his struggle. I was heartbroken. These moms, they're amazing moms. They didn't know how to teach their kids truth, because they didn't know that it was true themselves. We all run the risk of attending church and doing what we're told, but not actually diving into God's word to find out for ourselves. This was the case with these moms. They attend church, they have faith, but they didn't study the word themselves. And it was from this moment on that my heart was burdened for them. For myself, I needed to be in God's word more too. Over and over, I would feel the Holy Spirit say to me, show them, share it with them. I knew I needed to start a Bible study with these friends, but I just didn't know how to do that. I didn't know how to break the barrier in conversation from, hey, signing your kids up for basketball this season, to something as personal as, hey, do you want to start a Bible study with me? I was terrified. Simple question, but terrified. The perfect Bible study came across my path. It was starting up with the fall small groups that fall, and it was going to be over Zoom, and all I would have to do is just invite my friends to it. It would be like 30-minute commitment once a week from their home, super easy. I couldn't ask that question. I was terrified. All winter, fall and winter, I kept trying to forget about it, and the Holy Spirit kept telling me, in the back of my head, I kept hearing, do this study with your friends. Point your friends to my word. And finally, in early spring, I shared this burden with the staff team here at church, and I asked them to pray for me. I asked them to pray that I would have courage just to ask this question. And ultimately that they'd say yes, because I was scared. lo and behold, I asked the question, and they all said yes, with enthusiasm. They wanted to study God's word with me. All my fears for, 5 months were literally just me getting in the way. We completed that study last spring. And we learn that the Bible is true and that it does apply to our lives right here, right now. And we're currently doing our second study together, studying a specific book of the Bible and learning about God and how life with Him transforms us in the way that we live. 2 months ago, the husband of that friend who expressed her struggle about knowing that the Bible is true said to me, thank you so much for that mom's group that you started. His wife's name. My wife just loves it so much. Those words were just like such an encouragement to me, because God knew what He was doing. So the lesson learned is that when the Holy Spirit tells you to do something, just do it. Get out of the way. Put aside all your fears and worries and concerns you have about how it's going to work, because it's not you that's actually doing this work. Yes, you're taking the steps. Yes, you're the one that is expressing the words of invitation, but the Holy Spirit is the one who's going to do this work if He's the one that's asking for it to be done. I hope that encourages you.
Have you ever found yourself asking the question, what if? Have you ever looked back on your life and kind of gone through the series of those questions of What if I had done something different? What if I had taken this path rather than this path? Or what if I had chosen not to start that group or this group? Or what if, I mean, there's a lot of what ifs. Sometimes when we ask those what if questions, I think we look back and go, I think I dodged a bullet there. Have you ever had that feeling? Like, whew, that one was really close. I think sometimes maybe we look back and go, what if, with a sense of regret. Maybe you have some of that, where it's like, you know, I wish I would have. And then sometimes we look back and we think how thankful we are that we took the right what if that was before us. Lynn and I have done that many times where we've been driving down the road or talking somewhere and we kind of throw out that, could you imagine if things would have been different? What if this guy, you know, that I had chosen not to leave Connecticut and to go to this little Bible school out in the middle of the cow pasture that I had never heard of until just a couple of months before I ended up attending. What if I had never gone there? What if I would have stayed in Connecticut? What if Lynn had chosen at the time to change her major to nursing, which she was looking at doing, and going to a whole different college? And we're sitting there, we talk about that, and we go, man, we would have never met one another. We would have never been able to get married. We wouldn't have our three incredible daughters that we have together. And I look at it and I go, I don't think I would be in ministry today. There's a lot of impact that it has when we look at this, what if happens. Now, I've looked at some of the Bible stories in the same way. You know, you wonder, what if the stories of the Bible were different? What if David, when he walked out as a teenager and stood before, or didn't stand before, maybe he was so scared, he didn't even want to go out and see Goliath. What if he stayed back like everybody else? What would happen with that? What if Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego decided to bow down and worship the idol of the king rather than standing? What if Paul, formerly known as Saul, never had a change of heart and went on a rampage, killing Christians? There's a lot of amazing what-if questions. Last week, Pastor Tim talked about what if Mary chose to not be available to God? What if she said, I don't want to take this upon myself? And Pastor Tim said something last week that impacted my thinking, and it was an interesting statement. He said, if Mary would have said no, God would have still found a way to accomplish his purpose. And I thought to myself, you know, that's very true. It didn't say anywhere that the mother of Jesus or the mother of the Messiah had to be named Mary, did it? I don't see that anywhere. It said it would be a virgin who would give birth to a child. And so we see that. So yeah, I mean, okay, so apparently if she would have said no, Jesus could have said that. And I was looking at our topic for today, and we're looking at Joseph. And I thought, well, what if Joseph had chosen to divorce Mary, as we read just a few moments ago in Matthew chapter 1? What if Joseph had gone through, or even what if Joseph had gone through not just to divorce her, but what he could have legally done, have her stoned? And I thought to myself, Pastor Tim said that God could easily remedy that situation. And I thought, well, I think for every answer we can say God is God, God can do anything he wants to, right? But I thought in this scenario, it's not quite as easy because the ball was already rolling. Jesus was already in process with Mary. Mary had already agreed to it. The Holy Spirit had come upon her. And here's Joseph with this. And the question going before him was, Joseph, are you going to obey or not? And what would have happened if Joseph had decided, I can't do this? What would the impact be? And this morning I want to look quickly at three impacts. The personal impact that he would have, the prophetic impact that it would have, and the future impact that it would have. But what we see in this, and we already read it, but if you like to be there, Matthew chapter 1, starting at verse 18, that's our text of the morning. But if you look at this, the impact personally on Joseph would have been tremendous in this. Think about this story again. We like to put it in such a nice little package, don't we? The angel comes to Mary and says, Mary, you're going to be with child. And she just simply asks the question of how can this be? And he says, well, the Holy Spirit's going to come upon you. And we read it as then she was like, okay, cool, let's go for it, right? Comes to Joseph and says, Joseph, Mary is with child. Or maybe he found out ahead of time that she was with child and was considering to divorce. And so the angel comes to him and in a dream and says, Joseph, don't be afraid. Take her as your wife, for what is in her is the Son of God, and he will save the people of their sin. And so there he is, and he goes, oh, okay, let's do this thing, right? I mean, we like to have that nice, easy thing. But when you consider what was before Joseph, there was tremendous impact that this decision would have for him. The first thing we see is that he was considering the easy route out. It says that he had in mind to divorce her quietly so as not to bring public disgrace or expose her to public disgrace. And we look at that and we go, well, what a nice guy he is, because he didn't want to expose her to public disgrace. Why would Joseph divorce her then? Do you realize for Joseph to divorce her was allowing him not to be exposed to public disgrace? Because the point that it would be is this: if I can divorce her, if I can let her go, then what that says to everybody around is that she was unfaithful to me. I am a good guy. And I did the nice thing. I could have done much worse for her, but I'm going to do the nice thing. I'm going to do it quietly. I will still come out of this looking like roses, because it will all be placed on her shoulders as the one who sinned. But consider in this moment that the obedience that he would say is, if he takes Mary to be his wife, then what he's saying is, this is my son. I had no self-control. Because you know, for him to go out there and tell a story, yeah, that's not my kid, the Holy Spirit is going to be with it. Most people would look at that and go, okay, let's not tell that story again, all right? But for him to say, I'm going to take her as my wife, is saying, I am the father of that child. Exposing him to the dishonor of what he had done. However, you look at the other side of this coin of the personal impact, consider all of the blessings that Joseph would have missed out on. Think about this for a moment. The angel says to him, don't be afraid to take her to be your wife, because what is in her was conceived by the Holy Spirit. He shall be called Emmanuel, what? God with us. Joseph, you are going to raise the Son of God. Joseph, you are going to raise the most important person in the history of this world. Now, I get it. Every mother thinks that their child is the most important child in the history of the world. But we have proof here. Jesus was the most important child in the history of the world. And Joseph was given the honor to raise him as his own son and even name him. You see, that was a big honor in that time. The dad, the father, was the one to name the child. And when he named him, he was taking upon himself the role of leading that child. Could you imagine raising a child whose sole purpose is to be the savior of the world? Because he told them that. His name will be Jesus, and he will save his people from their sin. Jesus, the son that I get to raise, is going to save the world. Do you think Joseph looked back on that with any regret once making that decision? In my humble opinion, I would think that Joseph saw God do way too many things to look back on regret. As a matter of fact, I think he would be looking back more on the what if and saying, wow, what if I had followed through with my plan? You know, we see how obedience in the Bible is often connected with the blessing of God. Moses or Joseph had to have blessing upon blessing. It's interesting because you look at the kings of the Old Testament in 2 Chronicles, and you read about this king was good, this king did good, this king did evil, this king did good, this king did evil. I want to look at just three of them quickly because I want you to see the personal impact of obedience when we're called to it. In 2 Chronicles chapter 14, verses 2 through 6, we read about Asa. It says, Asa did what was good and right in the eyes of the Lord. He removed the foreign altars, the high places, smashed the sacred stones, cut down the Asherah poles, commanded Judah to seek the Lord, the God of their ancestors, to obey his laws and commands. He removed the high places and incense altars in every town in Judah. The kingdom was at peace under him. He built up the fortified cities of Judah. Since the land was at peace, no one was at war with him during those years. The Lord gave him rest. You see the blessing of obedience? He gave him rest and prosperity. 2 Chronicles 17, verse 3, and then a little bit down later in verse 10, Jehoshaphat, it said, followed the ways of his father David. He didn't consult with Baals. The fear of the Lord of the kingdom was on all of those who were surrounding them. They wouldn't go to war against him. They were afraid of him. And I love that because you see the obedience to God made it to where he was able to live in peace, but not only live in peace, but to have power while he lived at peace. The blessing of obedience. But then we see in 2 Chronicles 21, 6, Jehoram says he followed in the ways of the kings of Israel as the house of Ahab had done, for he married a daughter of Ahab. He did evil in the eyes of the Lord. And you know, you think sometimes, like, you know, these evil guys get away with a lot of things. But you jump down to verse 16 of there, and it says, the Lord aroused against Jehoram the hostility of the Philistines and of the Arabs who lived near the Cushites. They attacked Judah, invaded it, and carried it off all the goods found in the king's palace, together with his sons and wives. Not a son was left to him except Ahaziah, the youngest. After all this, the Lord afflicted Jehoram with an incredible disease of the bowels. In the course of time, at the end of the second year, his bowels came out because of the disease, and he died in great pain. His people made no funeral fire in his honor, and they had as they had for his predecessors. Jehoram was 32 years old when he became king, reigned for 8 years. He passed away to no one's regret and was buried in the city of David, but not in the tombs of the kings. You see the very different result. What if we choose to obey when God calls upon us? Well, a good answer is found in 1 Peter 3:12, which simply says, for the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and the ears are attentive to their prayer, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Obedience has great personal impact. But in our story today, we also see that it has prophetic impact. And what do I mean by that? Well, the story of Joseph, and again, last week Pastor Tim said, well, you know, if Mary said no, then there was a lot that, you know, well, God had a lot of leeway there. The process was happening. Now, what would have happened? How would have Joseph's decision to divorce Mary, to leave her, would have made any difference? Well, we see, first of all, in the way that Joseph was greeted by the angel in the dream, he says, Joseph, son of David. Now, this is an important greeting because it shows to us the lineage by which the Messiah would come. In Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7, we see this prophecy being told, for unto us a child is born, to us a son is given. The government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, and the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom. establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness for that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord will accomplish this. Now, that one just simply says that he will sit on the throne of David. So a person could argue and say, well, that just means he's going to be on the throne of David. Well, that usually means when you're sitting on the throne of someone, that is your lineage of it. But to make it even more clear, you could go to Jeremiah 33:15, where it says, in those days I will make a righteous branch sprout from David's line. We see it there. Another one in Isaiah 11, chapter 11, verses 1 and 2. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. Jesse is the father of David. And this is again pointing to Jesus. In Jeremiah chapter 23, verses 5 and 6, we see that a day is coming, declares the Lord, and I will raise up for David a righteous branch. Again, coming out of David. So we see the necessity of the Messiah, the one who would be the ruler, the one who would save us from our sin, to be from the line of David. In Matthew chapter 1, verses 1 through 16, we see a lineage or a genealogy. This genealogy is, it says, is the genealogy of Joseph, the husband of Mary. There's also a genealogy in Luke. And it also says that it comes from Joseph. Now, I don't have the time to get into all of this, and here's what I'm going to say. Do a little bit of study on the two genealogies in Luke and in Matthew, and you're going to find something very interesting because they're not the same genealogy, but they say they come from the same. See what you can find out about that, all right? But that's just kind of a fun side note. However, when we look at this, Joseph had to be the line. Well, why couldn't it come through Mary? Well, Mary could be the bloodline, physical bloodline. However, in that culture, in that day, in that time, they didn't keep the lineage of the females. It was only of the male. So when they would say, for example, that he would come from the line of David, it meant that he had to come from the male descendancy of David. It wouldn't be recognized otherwise. And so we see if Joseph had decided to walk away from it, to not name him as his own son, then that would have removed Jesus as the Messiah from the prophecies, changing everything. So it's important for the prophetic impact that Joseph was obedient to what he was called to. But then there's a third impact, and that third impact is future impact. What decisions did Joseph have to make that would have had future impact? Well, we talked about there's the prophetic ones. Yes, those are there. But when we see the story of Joseph, we see the importance of him being obedient. When we read it there in Matthew 1:20, it says, after he had considered this, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. Now, when we consider this story, this is usually the obedience that we only look at. Okay, I won't divorce her, I will marry her. But you realize Joseph had a series of moments where he had to be obedient to the command of the Lord. As a matter of fact, in chapter 2 of Matthew, at verses 13 and 14, you read, when they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph again in a dream. Get up, he said, take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and left for Egypt. Another moment of obedience. And this wasn't even just kind of like, you know, think about it. This was immediate obedience. He's saying, do this now. You need to get up and you leave. And imagine if Joseph sat there and thought, you know what? I'm really tired. Can we do that? You know, we need a couple of days. We need to get ready. We need to pack. We got to make sure we have enough food. We got to make sure we have enough clothes. We got to make sure we have all of this. Could you imagine if Joseph, maybe even with the heart to obey, technically, chose to delay that obedience? It could have been catastrophic. Because Herod went on a rampage and killed all of the boys under the age of 2. Now we can look at it again and go, well, again, this is where God would have stepped in and God would have protected them. God would have done. Yes, that's true. God could have done that. But do you realize that this was the responsibility, the safety of the Son of God was now resting in the hands of Joseph. And he needed to follow through. It would have been serious. Then we see again in Matthew chapter 2, verses 19 and 20, another time where it says, after Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream again to Joseph in Egypt and said, get up, take the child and his mother, go to the land of Israel, for those who were trying to take the child's life are dead. Now we can look at this and go, why is this really important? Well, I mean, really, Joseph could have sat there and thought to himself, this Egypt is a great place. We've got everything we need. We're safe. Why would we want to go back, even if the person that wanted to kill us is dead, why would we want to go back to where we were in danger to start with? Egypt is great. But consider what that would have meant, that Jesus would not have come out of Egypt, once again not fulfilling the prophecy that the Messiah would come out of Egypt, placing him as the Messiah. In other words, that would mean again that Jesus would be removed from the position of who he said he was. Everything would be a lie. And consider what that would mean for us today. If Joseph had chosen to do his own thing when called to obedience, Jesus would not be who he said he was. He would not have been the long-awaited Messiah. He would not have been able to take upon himself the sin of the world. He would not be our Savior. We would still be dead in sin. Do you see the tremendous impact of obedience? The impact, the future that those seemingly insignificant decisions that Joseph had to make had immense impact. What about us? As I wrap this up, what does this have for us today? The amazing part of these stories in the Scripture is that what God has done with those within Scripture, He does for us today. All throughout our life, we are being asked by God to do things, to be obedient to commands. We are faced daily with those decisions. Will I choose to obey or will I choose to do my own thing? And one of the things that we know, Jesus says, we know that the love of the Father is in us if we obey His commands. So it has tremendous future impact on us, personal impact on blessing. But there is an impact that I want us to see that goes beyond ourselves. And this is found in Romans chapter 10, verses 13 through 15. It says, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not heard? How can they hear without someone preaching to them? How can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news. You know, there's no greater time than Christmas to bring the story of Jesus. You realize in every store, pretty much somewhere there's a nativity scene being sold, right? Somewhere you see on someone's lawn the story in a picture form. You see the cards in the store. The story of Jesus is right there. Yes, it's being overshadowed by all of the other stuff, but the story of Jesus is right there. And here we have the opportunity to go out there as the children of God to tell this story and understand what the impact of that is. You know what? If I walk through life and I say, you know what? If I don't do it, then God can find another avenue. Can God do that? Sure. But God wants to use us to be the one to accomplish that purpose. And it might be that we may be that one and only story that they get to hear. And if they hear the story of Jesus, maybe it will change their heart and give them a whole new eternal perspective. It's easy to look back on Joseph and wonder, what if? But we see Joseph chose to obey, and because of that obedience, we have hope today. The question this morning comes, what area in our life, what area in your life, may God be calling you to obedience? And as you consider that question, what are the personal impacts? What are the future impacts of obedience to God's call? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have given to us an incredible story to tell. And as we look at Joseph, we have a great example of how we can live each moment ready to obey what you call us to do. And Father, we know that when we obey, we will never be outside of your will. When we obey, we will be within your hands. We will be protected. We will be empowered. We know that when we obey your commands, that we will see you move. Lord, may we be like the kings, that as we are looked upon, it would always be said, they did good in the eyes of the Lord. Lord, would you continue to use us to tell the story of the Savior, Emmanuel, God with us. In your name we pray. Amen.